Blog Talk Radio.
Global Kingdom Ministry. I am Brother Miles, and
we are going to be talking about on this evening. The lesson is Messiah, Our Rest. Messiah, Our Rest. And, you know, I've looked at this and what the churches have said that this means, that, you know, they're rest, they take a rest from their having to keep the law. I don't honestly believe that that's what this means, according to what the scriptures are referencing. So we're going to walk through this on this evening, maybe this evening, tomorrow morning, depends upon how far we get. But we're going to walk through it. And we want to see just what this means when it says Messiah is our rest. And it references back to when Israel provoked the Most High. When in the wilderness, Israel provoked the Most High by being disobedient. And he said that they will not enter into his rest. And so we're going to take a look at that in depth, and then we're going to bring it forward into the New Testament with Messiah. And I think the key to this is really in Isaiah 58. But we're going to let the Most High, Yah Elohim, have his say. He may say something different, but in my heart, I believe that the answer to this question is in Isaiah. Nevertheless, we want to greet everybody in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, Internet, those that have called into the 516 number, or those that have called into the 480 number, those that are listening to the broadcast via Internet. Wherever you may be, we greet you in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. We want to welcome everybody that is in North America or South America, those that are on the African continent, those that are in the Middle East, in the Far East, the European theater, the communist bloc countries that we broadcast into. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, in the English. We're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith. Remember, we're coming into the last of the year. Next month will be the last month of the year for our year. We don't celebrate or observe the years the way the world observes it. The Most High says is the beginning of his year starts with the spring equinox, and so that will be our first month of the year, March-April train. So next month will be in the middle of the month. We'll start our in February. We'll start the last month of the year for us, and we'll be looking forward to what the beginning of our year, the first of Nisan, and which is our New Year's Day, and then Passover. Yeah, observing the Passover and the heave offering and those things, the feast days that the Most High commands that we keep, not what the world keeps, but what he commands that are kept. So we're coming into our holidays just as the world just left theirs. And so I pray that everybody is getting ready to observe, you know, the Passover and all the feast days that we have coming. All right, that being said, may have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. As Solomon asked, when we were in the land of our captivity, or when we were in our own land, that, you know, we faced the house that he built. It says, but when we were in the land of our captivity, that we also would face the house that he built. And he prayed that the Most High would hear our prayers. Even for the Gentile nation, that if they face that way also, that he would hear their prayers. We're going to do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep His commandments, 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, O Yah Elohim. Glory to your name, O Father. Hallelujah. We just glorify you and we magnify you and we lift you up on today and we extol thee, for you are Elohim and you are Elohim all by yourself. And there is no other, Father, and we will not bow down and worship anyone but you. Hallelujah, for you are glorious and you are marvelous, and you are worthy of all praise. You are our Savior and our Redeemer, and we just look forward to spending all the time we can with you, Father. Hallelujah. And we ask that you would be among us this day, Father, as we go forth in this lesson. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, glory to your name, glory, hallelujah. Glory to you, O Yah Elohim, for you are our Redeemer. Holy hands raised to the Most High. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our sins and repent of our sins and turn from our wicked ways, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and that we have done wicked. And, Father, we are turning from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel. That is awake. Well, that is asleep, Father, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call in Messiah, that they would hear your voice, come and obey, and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work, and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, the sounding of the shofar, as we are commanded. It is the Most High Sabbath day. In our new moons and in our Sabbaths, we are told to sound the shofar. Thank you. We want to quickly review our foundations of discipleship on this evening, what Messiah said it takes to follow him so that we know what he expects. And for, you know, all new listeners, so they have an understanding of what Messiah said that his disciples must do, those that are becoming like him. A disciple is simply by definition is a person that's shown to be someone who follows the teaching, the life, the aim of another until the person becomes like the master. Discipleship in Christianity sense is the process of making someone become like Christ, like Messiah. The disciples of Christ is to become like Christ in everything. So we know that we are supposed to be growing up and coming like him. So we want to look and see what he says concerning this issue, because we want to walk perfect before him, is what he demands of us. Go to Matthew chapter 13, the book of Matthew chapter 13. And he says, "Who has ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." So he was telling his disciples, I speak to the masses in parables, so it's not meant for them or given to them to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. To him shall be given, and he shall have more abundant. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. So the understanding has to be given. And so anyone that cannot understand the gospel, because it has not been given to them to understand, they can read the scriptures, they can be taught, but the understanding comes from the Most High. He gives the understanding. So Messiah said, hey, I didn't come to share this with everyone. Matter of fact, I come so that they would, that I might judge them. Everybody that is, doesn't practice righteousness, everyone that sins willfully, that I might judge them. So they're going to hear this gospel, but they're not going to understand what they need to do. You know, and the mantra for this ministry is the kingdom, the gospel is free, but the kingdom of heaven will cost you your all. And we're going to hear Messiah say that, because he doesn't take half steps. So let's go down, let's go to Matthew chapter 6, foundation or fundamental of discipleship. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So the first thing that any person has to do is seek first the kingdom of Elohim, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness. Not our own righteousness, but his righteousness, his standard. He's the one that determines what's right and what's wrong. And when we do what is right, he says, we practice righteousness. When we do it, we are righteous. When we keep his commandments, his statutes, his ordinances, his judgments, then he says, then we are righteous. We are lawful. We obey the law rather than not trying to be up under it. So we got to seek the Most High and his righteousness, his kingdom and his righteousness first. That's the first thing we have to do. Chapter 13, and we're going to start in verse 44 for our second foundation. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, that which when a man has found, he hides, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." So the kingdom of heaven has to be so valuable to you that nothing that you have is more valuable than it. And you would sell all you have give all you have to get into his kingdom. So it costs you your all. You know, people paying tithes and giving offerings, but the Most High says, I want your all. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So the kingdom has to be the most valuable thing in your life. Obtaining the kingdom has to be the most valuable thing, most important thing in your life. You give your all to get it. 119, the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 2. Psalms 119 and verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimony and that seek him with the whole heart. So you got to seek him first and his righteousness, his kingdom and his righteousness. You got to value the kingdom more important, more valuable than anything in your life. And you got to seek him with your whole heart. Not a piece of you. Can't give the Most High leftovers. Well, you know, Most High, I got to, you know, work this job. I got to get this degree. The boss wants this. The family wants that. To put me first and serve me with your whole heart. I'll add all these other things unto you. I'll make sure that they happen. And they won't be a stress on you. I'll make sure that you get what you need. But you got to see me with your whole heart, and you got to make me number one. Drop down to verse 34. Drop down to verse Psalm 119, verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. His laws, his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments. Him. Give me understanding, and I will obey you. I'll keep your law. Everything that you say to do, I will do it. Not some of what you say, not what I'm comfortable with. That's what he told Israel. If you shall obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, if you'll do what I say to do, then I'm going to make you a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. Yeah, he hasn't changed. He wants our whole heart. Go to Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. And this is for those of us who have been awakened to understand how we have to return to the Most High. We can't know the truth and come half-stepping because that's what our forefathers did. They half-stepped. They operated, and we're going to see that in tonight's lesson, they operated not in faith. Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yah, and they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim, for they shall all return unto me with their whole heart. This is what he always has wanted. Give me your whole heart. Give me your all. And he says, when we wake up as to who we are as a people, and we call ourselves returning to him, we have to return to him with our whole heart. Can't say, you know, well, you know, I kind of agree with that, and I don't kind of agree with that. I don't know if I can do that. We're going to see what he says concerning those things. Because a lot of people have come to the Most High, half steps, doing what they want to do and doing it on, you know, the way that they want to do it and how they want to do it. And the Most High says, I told you what I want. I don't love you unconditionally. There's always an if condition. If you do this, then I'll do that. There is no such thing as I love you unconditionally no matter what you do, and I'll accept you no matter what you do. You're my child no matter what you do. If you obey me or not, you're my child. That, see, that's a lie. That's just a flat-out lie. He never says that. He says the opposite of that. So he says, I want your whole heart. I want you to seek me first. How to get into my kingdom. I want you to see what my righteousness is, what I say is right, Not what you say is right, but what I say is right, and I want you to do it. And I want you to value it so high that nothing that you can obtain is more valuable than my kingdom. You won't let anything else outweigh getting into my kingdom. It could be $1 trillion. It could be all the wealth in the world. But you can't value that more than you value my kingdom. Go to the book of Luke, chapter 14. The book of Luke, chapter 14. And let's start in verse 26. This is Messiah now. He's talking to his disciples, but he's talking to those of us through time who say that we want him to save us, and we want to be like him. See, a lot of us want him to save us, but we don't want to be like him. Then we have no part in him, because anybody that he saves has to become like him, to be a child of the Most High. He was our example of what a real child of Elohim, a real child of God, how they behave. He didn't sin. He didn't disobey the Most High. He followed and obeyed everything that he was told to do, even unto death. And so we are to be becoming like him. So he says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yeah, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's just straight, flat, you know, straightforward. If you love anybody more than you love me, even your own self, you cannot be my disciple. You will not become like me. Verse 27, and whosoever does not bear his cross, does not do whatever it takes to come after me, cannot be my disciple, cannot be a follower of mine, because all mine have to become like me. Can't be around here still practicing sin, knowing that you're doing wrong and saying, oh, but I'm saved. No, you're not. The minute that you sinned, after you came out of that water, you placed yourself right back up under the law and the penalty of the law. And people say, well, oh, I can confess that, and he is true and just to forgive me. No, that's not the way that works. Not going to go into it right now, but that's not the way that that works. That's a misuse of that scripture, having no understanding that the Most High doesn't work that way. Never has and never will. Verse 28. Now, here's the crux of the matter, because this, I know this definitely, the churches are not teaching people. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Least happily, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. In other words, you got to count the cost. What is it going to take me to give him my whole heart? What is it going to take me to seek the kingdom first? What is it going to take me to put him as number one? Am I willing to do that? Am I able to do that? Do I want to do that? Say you want to be my disciple? You want me to save you? Then this is what you got to be willing to do. You got to count the cost so that you know what's expected. He wants my all. And he's not going to take anything less. He don't have to. And I think that's something that a lot of people just don't realize. The Most High don't have to take second best. He don't have to settle. He says, I don't need anything from you. There's nothing that you can give me or do for me that's going to affect me one way or the other. What I want is your devotion. What I want is you to act like and be my child. I'm going to adopt you. I need you to be obedient. I need you to do what I say do. I need you to do it with your whole heart. I need to be number one in your life. I need you to think about that. Chew on it. Meditate on it. Then make up your mind. Am I able to serve this God, this Elohim? Is it within me to do it? Because this is what he requires. He says, hey, if you cannot do this, you cannot be my disciple. These aren't Brother Miles' words. This is written in the scripture straight up. We just got to believe it. Believe what is written. So you got to count the cost. People, when they first come to the Most High, they're on fire. You know, they are willing to do anything and everything, and by, they start to fall away. By and by, they find out that, hey, I wasn't really through sinning. I wasn't through doing this. I wasn't through doing that. Nobody told me about this. Nobody told me about that. And what it comes down to, it really comes to the place where it's like, oh, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to the lake of fire, but I ain't perfect. And that's an excuse because he says, be thou perfect. So if he says for us to be perfect, we can't come back and say, well, you know, I'm not perfect. And I ain't trying to be perfect. He says, well, you ain't trying to be mine. I told you, be thou perfect, for I am perfect. So learn about me. Learn what I want, what I accept and what I don't accept, and walk in it. And be thou perfect. Drop down to verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. So we got a lot of people faking the funk. A lot of people going through the motions, going to church every Sunday, going to camp meetings every Saturday, still doing the same things that they were doing. The Most High is not the most important thing in their life. His kingdom is not the most important thing in their life. Seeking his righteousness is not the most important thing in their life. He's not the most important thing in their life. He's their Elohim when they're in trouble, when things ain't going right. Oh, I think I need to get down and pray. I need to ask, you know, I know I'm not doing right. I need to ask for forgiveness. Well, if you know you're not doing right, hey, yeah. Who is that? Ring the doorbell. I don't think he's here. Okay, I'm in the middle of a Bible lesson. I'm in the middle of a Bible class. Okay. All right, let me continue here. All right. So let's review this. Our first foundation is you got to seek Yah and his kingdom first. Kingdom must be the most valuable thing in your life. You must seek the kingdom with your whole heart. You cannot love anyone, even yourself, more than you love Messiah. You must consider the cost. And you must be willing to give up everything to follow Messiah. These are our foundations of discipleship. Okay. So now let's get into this lesson. Messiah, our rest. Messiah, our rest. And just remember, if you're not willing to do those things, Brother Miles didn't say it. The Bible says that you cannot be my disciple if you're not willing to do all that. Okay. Let us go to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews, chapter 4. Start in verse 1. And this is the chapter that the church uses, saying that Messiah is their Sabbath rest. And they interpret that they are at rest from having to try to keep his law, from trying to obey him, really. Because everything, he came because we were sinners. So let's just do this way first. Go to 1 John. Chapter 1. Where I want to go. Let's see. Just a second. I'm going to alter this just a little bit. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Need to get what the scripture says. Whosoever committed sin transgressed also the law. For sin is, this is the definition of sin, the transgression of the law, the breaking of the laws of the Most High. So Adam and Eve, when they were told not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the garden, and they ate from that tree, they broke the law. They had one law: don't eat from that tree. They sinned. They transgressed. The Most High gave other laws, and he said that we were not to transgress them. Messiah came because man was in a fallen state. Man sinned. Messiah died and became the sacrifice, the blood sacrifice. His blood paid for all of our sins, our transgressions. So why would he come and die for our sin, for us to only turn around and go back into sin, or say to A, sin no longer applies to us. The law no longer applies to us. We don't have to keep it. So he is our Sabbath rest. We rest from trying to do the works of the law. You work from trying to not sin, because that's what that's saying. We don't, you know, we're not up under the law. Well, the Most High never said he got rid of his law. He says he removed the charges that were upon us. We all had sinned and fallen short. We were charged. You committed adultery. You committed fornication. You stole. You committed idolatry. Whatever it was that we were doing, he says, you had charges against you. And Messiah came and wiped them out. Now, each generation that is born fall up under these same laws. And each generation has to come from under sin. So they come and they confess Messiah as their Savior. He says, okay, I can apply my death to you, and you can go into the water, get buried, and be resurrected, come up out of the water a new creature. And I won't see you as the same old man, the same old person, that sinner. I will see you as a new creature, and I will blot out all your sins. Now, if you go and sin again, well, you just brought yourself back up under the penalty of the law. So we got to understand what the definition of sin is, the transgression of the law, of his law. Now, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Starting in verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. What we want to be concerned with. His rest. What are we getting rest from? Are we getting rest from keeping his laws? Oh, we ain't got to try to keep those laws no more. We can just say we worship him, and no matter what we say or do, to and just to forgive us, and it's all good. It's not what this book says. Not what it says. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Underline them. We need to know who them he's talking about. And the them he's talking about in this verse is Israel, our forefathers. He's talking about his forefathers. So Paul is saying the gospel day in the current day, but it was also preached unto Israel. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. What word was preached to them? What were they told? We got to go look at that. See, what did they do? And that got them in trouble. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundations of the world. Now, the works that were finished, the Most High set up his system of salvation from the very beginning. He knew what man would do. He knew what Adam would do and Eve would do. He knew what mankind would do. He knew that there was going to need a Messiah. He's going to need to redeem man. And all of this stuff was done before he ever even put man on the earth. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise. And Elohim did rest the seventh day from all his work. Wasn't that he was tired? He stopped creating. He stopped putting this system in place. He was finished creating the world, the universe, mankind, the animals. And he had given them instruction. So he rested from that work. And in this place, if they shall enter in, and in this place, again, if they shall enter into my rest. We got to follow, because saying that Messiah is our Sabbath, what does that mean? Messiah is our rest. He's going back into the Torah, the Old Testament. In this place, again, if they shall enter into my rest, for it remaineth that some must enter therein. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in. Why? Because of unbelief. So the Most High says, I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to take you into a place. I'm going to give you a day, I'm going to give you a place. But he said, they, Israel, whom it was first preached, entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limits a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. If you will hear his voice, then you will know what he said. Obey me. Obey my voice. Enter into a peaceful relationship with me. And I will give you rest. We're going to see this as it develops. For if Yeshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. Now, this is speaking of a future time. Another day of rest. And this is going to be the seventh day in creation as far as counting the days go. So the seventh day is the Sabbath. We practice it every week. But then there's a day, as in the time of the Most High, that is going to be the seventh day in creation. The same like the seventh day when he rested. But after 7,000 years, after Messiah returns, when Messiah returns, we're going to enter into his Sabbath, his rest. But I'm getting a little bit ahead of my time, my place. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of Elohim, another day. Now, the Sabbath day that he gave, that he started himself, did not particularly pertain to Israel. As I said, he said it on the seventh day. He stopped from all his works. He did this from the beginning. So he always intended that mankind would rest on the seventh day. Now, he's saying that there's going to be a rest in Messiah, a day given by Messiah that we would rest. That will be the day that he returns to this earth to establish his kingdom on the earth. Verse 10. But I want to develop this so that we can see that this has to do with staying away from sin. For he that is entered into his rest, own work, as Elohim did from his. For what the Most High sees from his works of creation. What works are we supposed to cease from? They interpret this that we're supposed to cease from our own works of following his laws. I don't know how to even make that jump. Because our own works were evil continually. That's what we're supposed to cease from. That's what man has been good at, sinning. And the Most High says, you know, I got to destroy man because his thoughts are evil continually. So he wants us to take a rest from that. And Messiah is going to bring in an age where if you sin, the penalty of the law is going to be exacted right then and there. And everybody that rules with him, that his disciple, and rules with him, they're going to have to rule the same way that he ruled. Scepter of iron. Strict rulership. It ain't going to be this, you know, where they show the lion laying down with the lamb, and the lamb is everything is all docile. No, when he comes back to establish his kingdom on the earth, he's not taking names. He says, hey, if you won't have me to rule over you, bring all those that would not have me to rule over them. Bring them here and kill them before me. See, the church don't ever tell us that. Bring them here and kill them in front of me. They don't want me to rule over them. He's not playing. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. You sin, you get punished. You do something that's unto death, you get killed. So he's going to bring a day when he's going to cut out all sin in the earth by removing the wicked. But let's keep going. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own work, as Elohim did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, ceasing from our work. Any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of Elohim is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. What is he looking in your heart for? Did you willfully disobey me? Or was it an accident? Were you in error? Did you not? Was it out of ignorance? You didn't know any better. I'm going to, as Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 says, he has appointed a day that he's going to show whether what you were doing was good or whether it was evil. None of that's going to change. Discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest or shown in his sight or seen in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Can't hide anything from him. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Yeshua, the son of Elohim, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Really, the Most High don't understand sins. But when he came in that body, he says, oh, I see what they are going through. I can relate to them now. Because before, my whole thing was to destroy sin. You sin, I had to kill you. You disobeyed. But now I understand that you fight with this flesh. That he was tempted at all points. Yet, did he not sin? But I understand what you're going through now. So I'm going to make a way. If you disobey me, as long as it's ignorantly, meaning you didn't know you was disobeying, I'll forgive you. But if you know something is wrong and you do it, I'm not going to forgive you for that. There's no blood for that. So I understand you fight with that flesh. I understand that, you know, the enemy can come and tempt you because there's something in you that you can be tempted with. But I want you to be strong. I want you to be committed. I want you to make up in your mind that you're not going to sin. That you're going to seek me with your whole heart. And you're going to seek my righteousness with your whole heart. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Okay. So, let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. The book of Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Yeshua HaMashiach, or Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Now, Moses obeyed the Most High. The only problem Moses had was Moses tried to take credit for something that the Most High said, hey, I don't share my glory with anyone. Cost him from entering into the Holy Land. Him and Aaron, shall we give you water. The Most High, what are you talking about? We. You ain't giving nobody no water. You my spokesperson. You causing the people to look at you. And for that, you don't get to enter into the promised land. You should not take these people into the promised land. At least you take credit for that too. So it wasn't that Moses hit the rock. He was instructed to hit the rock. But what he said got him in trouble. But he did what the Most High told him to do. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, in as much as he who has built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is Elohim. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house. For for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, or Yeshua HaMashiach, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, underline provocation there. How did they provoke the Most High? Because he's going back to the law. He's going back to Israel. As in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my works 40 years. Now, they provoked the Most High to do something. They provoked him to anger because of their unbelief. I told you I was going to take you into a land flowing with milk and honey, that there was no land like this land. I watched over this land. And when we sent out the spies to spy out the land, 10 of the spies came back with a negative report. Only 2 came back with a positive report, and you believed the negative report, even though you saw everything that I did in Egypt. You saw me split the Red Sea. You saw me turn the water into blood. You saw me send life upon all the Egyptians. You saw me give them boils. You saw me make all of Egypt dark, and only the land of Goshen had light. You saw me kill all the firstborn of Egypt. You saw all these things. You saw me destroy the Egyptian army when they tried to follow you into the Red Sea. You saw me deliver you out of the hand of Pharaoh of Egypt by miraculous work. And you still don't believe that I'm able to give you the land that I promised you? You don't believe. They walked in unbelief. And because they walked in unbelief, they walked also in disobedience. When your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my works 40 years. Verse 10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my way.
The grace, yeah.
Right, amen. Shalom, peace. Let me mute you.
Is now in the conference.
So we don't get an echo. All right, somebody's already done it. Okay, so let's continue. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation. He was mad at them. Matter of fact, he told everybody that was 20 years old and older, you're not going to go into the promised land. You caused me to breach my own word, my own promise. I promised I was going to take all these people that I brought out of Egypt into the promised land. But 10 times disobedient, 10 times you murmured and complained. 10 times you walked in unbelief. And he became grieved and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my way. He told Israel, remember when he came down in Exodus chapter 19 to introduce himself to Israel, Moses didn't give the people the Ten Commandments and tell them what not to do and what to do. The Most High, they heard the voice of the Most High. He spoke and they heard it. Then Moses went up on the mountain and the Most High wrote it on those clay tablets. But he told the people verbally his ways. They wouldn't obey his voice. So I swear in my wrath, in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. Meaning that I'm not taking them into the promised land. I'm not going to give them rest from their enemies. They're going to always be at conflict. They're going to always be having to look over their shoulders, or somebody is going to be attacking them or what have you. They're not going to be in my rest. They're not going to be up under my protection. Because he said that the promised land was a land that he looked over. And when he takes them in there, if they did what he said to do, that he would protect them, that their enemies would run from them. And it would get to a point where they would have no enemies to run from them for fear of them. But we'll see all this. Brethren, lest there be any of you, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. In departing from the living Elohim. How do you depart from the Most High? By disobeying him. You make yourself his adversary when you disobey him. So he says, that's what Israel did. They murmured and complained and they disobeyed. They didn't believe. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Because when we first get saved, you know, if we sin, it's a big deal to us. Oh, man, I didn't sin. Most High's not going to forgive me. He's not going to do this. He's not going to do that. And then the more we sin, the more hardened we become to it, the more desensitized we become to sin. Then we just start doing it and we don't feel as bad. And we are deceived because we think that we can do that and then say, you know, Yah, forgive me, and he will forgive us. You have been deceived. Because that's not what he says. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Repent. That means to acknowledge that you have sinned and turn away from it. That's how you began. And you got to stay that way. Come out of sin from beginning to end. Unto the end. That's why he says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Everybody's not going to be saved because everybody, you know, want to still do what they want to do. They don't want to obey his voice. They want to let sin deceive them. Oh, it's okay. You know I'm human. I know you human. I made you. And I told you to be perfect. But Most High, you know, this flesh just get in the way. My mind gets in the way. Told me. Well, you're going to know now because Brother Miles going to make sure you know so that we can't use that as an excuse that we walk before him perfectly. Verse 15. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. Now, we're going to go read about this provocation so we can see exactly what Israel did. How did they provoke the Most High? For some, when they had heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Who was he mad at 40 years? Not with them that had sinned. But we, you know, we read that sin is the transgression of his laws. He's grieved with everybody that disobeys him and breaks his laws. Whose carcasses fell in the wilderness. So, you know, if he was grieved with them that sinned, how in the world are they going to take and say that Messiah our rest, Messiah our Sabbath, means that we don't have to keep the law. You got to keep the law or else you're going to sin. And he's going to be grieved with you. He's not going to be blessing you. He's not going to be talking about you, my child. I don't know where they get this from. That is satanic. And it has to be from Satan. And they have bitten it hook, line, and sinker. That's not the God of this Bible. That's not the Elohim of this Bible. That's not his way. Because I was grieved with them because of their sin. And their carcasses, their bodies fell in the wilderness. I told every one of them that sin, you shall not enter into my rest. You shall not enter into the promised land. I'm going to kill you here in the wilderness. You're going to walk until all of you are dead. 20 years old. If you're 20 years old right now, you're not going in. Everybody that's 20 years old and older, you're not going in. All of the children are going to go in. And he walked them and made sure that they died within that 40 years. You're not going to enter into my rest. Swear he that they should not enter into his rest. But to them that did not, but to them that believed not, you're not going to enter into my rest. You didn't believe I was going to take you into the promised land. You didn't believe that you're going to enter into my kingdom. You didn't believe I'm going to give you eternal life. You didn't believe that you got to stop sinning. You're walking in unbelief. You don't really believe me that I'm going to kill everybody who walks in sin, that walks in willful sin, who willfully disobeys me. And because you ain't dying right now, don't think that it ain't going to happen. I'm going to wake you back up. I'm going to put eternal life on you. I'm going to give you eternal life. And then I'm going to give you a punishment that's worse than death. But see, we don't get told that. You know, people think that they're going to go into hell and just burn up and it's going to be over. It's you deserve a punishment worse than that. You going to disobey me? You're going to walk contrary to me? You're going to buck me like you bad? You are more powerful than I am? I got something for you. And it ain't nothing nice. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Anything that's burnt up and gone, don't weep and gnash its teeth. The punishment that he has for the wicked ain't nothing nice. And it's forever. It's not just, you know, let me throw you in this fire and burn you up and, all right, you done. You don't feel no more. You don't see no more. You don't exist anymore. That's not what he's going to do. I'm going to wake you all up and give you eternal life. And some of y'all are going to live forever in bliss. And some of y'all are going to live forever in torment. That's what he says. He says, and we, if we don't understand what Messiah did and walk in that, then we walk in unbelief. Messiah came and died for our sins, that we should not walk in them anymore. You don't, you know, say, tell somebody here, I'm going to, you got $10,000 in credit card debt, I'm going to pay off your credit card debt, and then you turn right back around and go charge back up $10,000 in credit card. I'm not getting you out of that. First time I can say, hey, you did it ignorantly. You know, you got it, they got you. But you knew what you were doing the second time, and I'm not paying that. So you're going to have to deal with that. So he says, I swear that they should not enter into his rest, to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. If you don't believe everything that the Most High says that is going to happen, and you think that you're going to be the exception, everybody want to be David. Because David is the only one in the scriptures that I can find that the Most High said, you know what? I'm going to forgive you that willful sin you just did. When he took Bathsheba and had Uriah killed, and he caused Most High to look bad, Most High says, I'm going to take the kingdom from you. I'm going to forgive you your sin, but you're still going to have to pay the cost, but I'm not going to take your life. You're not going to die for this. That's the only one he did that with. Everybody else? Oh, you disobeyed me? You died without mercy. David is that only exception that I see in the scriptures. If somebody can show me somebody else, please do so. Because everybody want to be David. Everybody want to act like they got the heart of David. But I don't see that. And all the examples don't show that. You either obey him or you didn't. David disobeyed the Most High. And he confessed that, yeah, it was me. He didn't do like Saul and say, hey, the people made me do it. Let's go to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. The book of Numbers, chapter 13. Because we don't want to provoke the Most High with unbelief. Unbelief. Because that is going to be a problem. You don't believe me? You provoke me to anger because you don't believe what I say? Then you don't do what I say because you don't believe me? You think you can do what you want to do? Numbers chapter 13, starting in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. So send a ruler, one from each of the tribes, and let them go spy out the land that I'm going to give you. And Moses, by the commandment of Yah, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were their names. Of the tribe of Reuben, Shamuel, the son of Zakur. Of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Horah. Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Of the tribe of Issachar, Agiel, the son of Joseph. Of the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun. Of the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Rephu. Of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodai. Of the tribe of Joseph, namely the tribe of Manasseh, Gadai, the son of Susi. And of the son of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamaliel. And of the tribe of Asher, Sethor, the son of Michael. And of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabai, the son of Phoshi. And of the tribe of Gad, Jeuel, the son of Machi. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Yehoshua. That's in the English would be translated in the English, Jesus or Joshua, Yehoshua. Funny that they spelled that right there. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and get up into the mountain and see the land and what it is and the people that dwells therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what the cities they be in that they be, and what the cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rahab, as the men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now, Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Now, Egypt is extremely old, so this is saying that this Hebron was built 7 years before this city in Egypt. And they came into unto the brook of Eshil and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs, and they called the brook of Eshil because the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. So they have gone and spied out the land, and they have brought back fruit of the land, and one cluster of grapes took two men to carry. They were that big. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. Now, the Most High has already told them these are the lands that he's going to give them. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb sealed the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Now the problem is here is, Israel never delivered itself. It didn't deliver itself from Egypt. The Most High said he was going to take them in. He was going to give them the land. And now all of a sudden it's we. We can't take this land. That's the problem. Now the leaders are walking in unbelief, and they are putting the people in unbelief. They're setting the wrong expectation. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people which we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. So these are giants in the land. And it says compared to them, these people aren't just 8 or 9 feet tall, 12 feet tall. To look like to be a grasshopper, like a bug, means that these people were super tall. And, you know, there are skeletons that are in the earth tall, 200 feet tall. And so they're saying, hey, we're like grasshoppers to these people. They'll just step on us and we'll be dead. Most High already knew what was in the land. So I said, I'm going to give it to you. These giants don't have anything on the Most High, but they believe this negative report. Go to verse 14. Chapter 14. And all the congregations lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. Oh, we can't get into the land. We ain't able to take it. We can't do it. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. You done brought us all the way out here talking about a promised land, and there's giants in the land that we look like grasshoppers compared to. Dude, we're going to overthrow y'all, and we're going back to Egypt. Look and see what they say. And the whole congregation said unto them, would Elohim that we had died in the land of Egypt. We wish the Elohim, to God, that we had died in Egypt. Or we wished to Elohim that we had died in the wilderness. And wherefore, or why has Yah brought us unto this land? To fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. These people are going to kill us and our wives and our children. Or they're going to take our wives and make children with them and kill our children. Because that's what was commonly done. Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? Ain't it not better for us that we go back to Egypt? Now, they are just totally in unbelief, like the Most High said, nothing to them. We got to do this. You didn't bring yourself out of Egypt. You didn't conquer Pharaoh. The Most High did. The Most High says, I'm going to deliver this land into your hand. And then it forgot all about that. It's now we, the people. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. Let us elect somebody, fire Moses and Aaron, and Joshua and Caleb, and let's go back to Egypt. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. They ripped their clothes open. And they spake unto the company, all the company of the children of Egypt, of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. Some good land over there. If Yah delight in us, if Yah delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not you against Yah. And that's what they're doing. They think they're rebelling against Moses and against Aaron. Rebel not against Yah. Neither fear you the people of the land, for they are bread for us, is departed from them, and Yah is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Stone them. Shut them up. And the glory of Yah appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And Yah said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? This is the day of provocation. We want to go back to Egypt. We're going to fire Moses and Aaron. We're going to elect our own captain, and we're going back. Yah came down. What? Y'all going to do what? After I done brought y'all out of Egypt, y'all going to turn around and rebel and go back? And how long will it be ere they believe, before they believe me? For all the signs which I have shown among them, I showed them. And see, this is something that we got to realize, that what the Most High did with Israel. He showed Israel his power. And he showed Israel, he destroyed Egypt by using the gods of Egypt against Egypt. Everything that Egypt said was a god, the Most High used it to destroy Egypt, to show them, I control everything. They say it's a god. Even Pharaoh says he's a god. I'm going to kill your firstborn son, Pharaoh. If you be a god, stop me. And I'm going to kill all the firstborn in Egypt. If you be a god, stop me, since you say you're a god. They worship the Nile. I'm going to turn your life-giving Nile River into blood that you can't drink. Everything that he used, Egypt worshiped it. They even worshiped flies. That's what Baal's name is, Lord of the Flies. They worshiped him. They worship the cow. He gave the cow boils and destroyed a lot of them. These are your gods. I'm controlling everything. To show Israel who he was. And then when he got him into the wilderness, he says, now, there ain't no strange gods among you. We in this wilderness, just me and you. Let me rain down manna from heaven. Let me cause the quail to fly in here every day, 10 miles wide, 3 feet deep. You just go pick them up, eat all the meat you want, since y'all want meat. Let me cause water to come from this rock, which was a flint rock, a rock that is used to make fire. Let me cause water to come from it. And not only am I going to cause water to come from it, I'm going to cause this rock to follow you as a people. You ain't going to have to go searching for water no more. I'm going to cause this rock to move with you. So there's water everywhere you go. And he called that rock Christ. But we know what the definition of Christ is. Power and the wisdom of God, of Elohim, unto salvation. He used that rock in the wilderness to save his people. He says, and that rock was Christ. Water wasn't coming out of a man. And Messiah wasn't fetching water for the nation of Israel. It was the Most High using this rock to bring water and water his people. He said, that is Christ. Because Christ is not a who, it's a what? It's a title. So people think that Christ is Messiah's last name, Jesus Christ. They think it's his last name. No, it's Jesus the Christ. The title. That title means the power and the wisdom of Elohim, of God unto salvation. What he does to bring about salvation to his people. And so I showed you all these signs so that you know that there is no other God but me. How long will this people provoke me? How long will it be error, or how long will they ever believe me for all the signs which I have shown among them? This is he asked. What I got to do? I will smite them with pestilence, inherit them. They ain't going to be my people. And I will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Now he's talking to Moses. I'll make of you a great nation. I'll get rid of all of these and start over. Because this people is stiff-necked. They're hard-headed. They walk in unbelief. I tell them I'm going to do something. They don't believe me. Even after I showed them who I was, I showed them my work and my power. And they still don't believe. And Moses said unto Yah, then the Egyptians shall hear it. Now, the Most High says, I'm going to kill all these. I'm going to disinherit them. And I'll make a nation out of you, Moses. Because these people, they don't believe. And then Moses says, but Yah, then the Egyptians shall hear it. For thou broughtest up this people in the might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. You know, their God delivered them out of our hands, and he brought them out here to do what? And for they have heard that thou, Yah, art among this people, that thou art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire by night. They've heard this. The Egyptians have heard this. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, as a mass, as a group, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because Yah was not able to bring this people into the land, which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. The Egyptians and everybody else will say, hey, you wasn't able to bring us into the land, so you killed us. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord or my master be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, Yah is long-suffering and of great mercy, giving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Moses is saying, do what you told me that you were going to do, that you were long-suffering. that you are merciful, that you forgive iniquity and transgression. But, and by no means clearing the guilty. He had told Moses, I'll forgive those who sin ignorantly, but I won't forgive those who are guilty of sinning willfully. So Moses said, hey, by no means clearing the guilty. Get the guilty. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto thy greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. Now let's see what the Most High said. And Yah said, I have pardoned according to your word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of Yah. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, have not listened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land, which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. You said, don't pardon the guilty. I'm going to pardon just according to your request. Everybody who is innocent, I'm going to forgive them. Everybody who is guilty, who has provoked me, I'm not forgiving them. By my servant Caleb, because he has another spirit with him, and has followed me wholly, fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you. Now look and see what Yah is saying. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn around and get you into the wilderness. By the way of the Red Sea, go back to the Red Sea. Now, this is where he brought them through. Turn around and get your behinds back to the Red Sea. Don't try to enter into this land. And Yah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? Murmur against me. I have heard of the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith Yah, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Remember they said, we wish we had died in Egypt. We wish that we had died in the wilderness. Most of us said, I ain't taking you back to Egypt. But you're going to die in this wilderness. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith Yah, you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Age of accountability must be 20. Doubtless you shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein. Say Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Everybody else over 20 years old, y'all dying in this wilderness. You're not going over. And that included Moses and Aaron. Now, they would have gone over, but they sinned. They didn't get to go over. So think about that. You got between 2 and 6 million people. You don't know how many are younger than 20. But it's the children. Verse 31. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, that you said I wasn't going to be able to protect them, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness. Why? Because they sinned. They walked in unbelief. They didn't believe what Yah said concerning what he was going to do. And, you know, in the New Testament, the promises of Messiah and what he says he's going to do. And when he says there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, if you do well, you're going to enter into the promised land. You're going to enter into the kingdom in peace, in rest. But if you sin willfully, there ain't no forgiveness for that. You're not entering in. And see, the church is teaching people, hey, you sin, all you got to do is ask for forgiveness, whether you knew it or not. He is true and just to forgive you. He says, no, I'm not. Ain't what I said. Y'all twisted my words. Take a rest from all that lying, all that sinning. That's what I came for. I got you out of trouble and told you go and sin no more. That's what you resting in until you not, until you go back and sin again. Then you not in my rest. Anyway, let's keep going, because this is what the children of Israel did. They walked in unbelief and they sinned. Now let's see what they did, because this is what a lot of people do. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. Now this right here, my breach of promise. You shall know my breach of promise. I promised when I brought you guys out of Egypt, I was going to bring you all into the promised land, you and your children. But you knuckleheads and caused me to break my promise. I'm not bringing y'all all in. I'm not going to keep my word. I'm going to break my promise. And I'm not taking you all in. I'm only going to take those of you that are 20 years old and younger. All the rest of y'all that I made that promise to, that promise is null and void. You caused me to break my word, to breach my promise. Think about that. You do something to cause the Most High to change his promise towards you. And see, we don't think that we can do that because he's just ever forgiving. No, he said, I put up with them 10 times. 10 times they murmured against me. And this time, I'm not putting up with it no more. Now, pray that the Most High gives you 10 times, but you know what? Moses only got one. And if he stopped Moses from going into the promised land because he one sin, you and I need to be very afraid. We need to be very afraid. I told you, I have said, I will surely do it unto this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against them by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague before Yah. Yah gave them, appealed them immediately. Those 10 heads of those tribes that brought back the negative report, they died immediately. Whatever that plague was, consumption, cancer, whatever, it consumed them right then. That's how mad he was. You done caused me to break my promise. You done caused the people to turn against me. You done brought an evil report. And thinking that you got to go in and do this and you can't do it, he killed them immediately. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still because they brought back the positive report. We can take the land. All we got to do is have the favor of the Most High, and he'll deliver it to us. And Moses told these things unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and got them up. Now, this is what I want you to pay attention to. The Most High says, I'm going to kill all y'all, 20 years old and older. Now, they have been told that this is going to happen. They mourn greatly. Now, see what they do, because this is what people do. And they rose up early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here. Here we are, and we will go up unto the place which Yah has promised. For we have sinned. We're going to go into the promised land, because you said you would give it to us. We believe you now. We're going to do what you said do, because we have sinned. We have sinned, and now we want to obey. The problem is, and Moses said, wherefore or why now do you transgress the commandment? Yah told y'all to get y'all behinds back to the Red Sea. Why are you going to now disobey? But it shall not prosper. You go over there, you're not going to prosper. Go not up, for Yah is not among you, that you be not smitten before your enemy, that you be not killed. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from Yah. Therefore, Yah will not be with you. And see, a lot of people do this. The Most High will come back and chastise them for not doing what they were supposed to do. And they when he told them to do it, they didn't want to do it. And so they don't do it, and then when they get chastised, and all of a sudden they want to turn around and do it, and Yah says, I'm not with you now. I was with you when I told you to go do it, but you walked in unbelief. And you didn't go do it. Now you want me to be with you? I'm not with you. We got to understand this. Because, see, we will say, yeah, I better go ahead and do what I'm supposed to do. You better make sure that the Most High. Because here he told Israel, y'all take y'all behinds back to the Red Sea. I'm gonna deal with y'all in this wilderness. Y'all gonna walk back and forth for 40 years. And to everybody that's 20 years older or 20 years younger and younger, everybody 20 years and above is gonna die. When all this generation has died out, then I'll think about taking y'all into the promised land. I'll think about giving you my statutes, my laws, my commandments. I'll think about circumcising the newborn again, entering in, allowing you to enter into my covenant. But right now, y'all getting ready to walk. Oh no, we're gonna go ahead and do what you said do. We can go ahead and take the land, like you said. We have sinned. We have disobeyed you. We walked in unbelief. We know it. We're going to go over here now and do what you said to do. He said, don't do it. I ain't with you. But they presumed. They were presumptuous. They willfully disobeyed to go up onto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of Yah and Moses departed not out of the camp. The people went. The Ark of the Covenant didn't go to Moses. I didn't say, hey, I'm going over there. I'm not going to be with you. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them and discomfited them, even unto Hamath. So the people sinned. We have been disobedient. We're going to obey. We're going to go do what you said to do. And Yah said, that was yesterday. I've already judged on this matter. And I change not. I'm not going to repent of this thing. I'm killing y'all. I would have killed all y'all, your children and everybody, and started over with Moses. But Moses made a plea to me and said, hey, show me what you told me when you declared yourself to me, that you were long-suffering, that you were merciful, had great mercy, that you forgave transgression, but don't pardon the guilty, because you said you don't pardon the guilty. Keep your word in what you said. And the Most High said, I have pardoned according to your word. All those who rebelled against me that are 20 years old and older, I'm killing. And I'm going to judge them according to their own words. They said they wish they had died in Egypt. They didn't. I'm not taking them back to Egypt to kill them. So I'm going to kill them in this wilderness, since they said they wish they died in this wilderness. So I'm going to kill them here in this wilderness. Because they walked in unbelief, and they walked not in my ways, and they did not enter into my rest. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy. What time is it? 7:50 what? 9? We're going to go to one other place, and then we're going to call it quits for this evening. We will pick this up in the morning so that we can see how this fits in with Messiah. Because this is what Messiah, this is what it's compared to. This is what Messiah's rest is compared to. What does he want us? What did he give us rest from? So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Now, the Most High, and you know, I've covered this before from the angle of the statutes and the judgment. But we want to hear what the Most High tells Israel, okay, about his rest. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land, which Yah, Elohim of thy fathers, giveth thee to possess it all the days that you live upon the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you shall possess serve their gods upon the high mountains. Destroy them. Upon the hills, destroy them. Destroy all these places. Under every green tree, destroy these places. You shall overthrow their altars and break down their pillars and burn their groves with fire. You shall cut down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place, every place that I send you. You shall not do so unto Yah, your Elohim. You should not do so unto me. So you're not going to build me an altar on every tall mountain. You're not going to build me an altar on every high hill. You're not going to build me an altar in every valley. You're not going to build me an altar in any of these forests, in these groves. Don't do to me what they do to their gods. You shall not do so unto Yah, your Elohim, but unto the place which Yah your Elohim shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall you seek, and there shall you come. Don't build me an altar on top of every mountain, on every hill, in every valley, in every grove, on every corner, every street corner. Only where I tell you I'm going to put my name, that's where I'm going to meet you at. And there you shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and your heave offerings of your hand and your vows and your free will offerings and of your herds and of your flock. And there you shall eat before Yah your Elohim, and you shall rejoice in all that you put your hand unto, you and your households, wherein Yah your Elohim has blessed thee. You shall not do after all these things that we do here this day. Every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. And see, people think they got a right to do that. What's right in their own eyes? So Yah says what is right in his eyes. You don't get an option to do what you want to do. Your only option is either to serve him or not to serve him. Then if you choose not to serve him, then you can do what's right in your own eyes. But if you choose to serve him, you choose to say you belong to him, you choose to come into covenant with him, then you don't do what's right in your own eyes. You do what he says is right. And so I said, don't do these things. So don't do them. Don't think, well, that sounds good. I'll put an altar up here. If I go up on top of this mountain, I'm closer to the Most High, I'll put an altar up here. Well, I feel like I'm closer to him in the valley. I'll put an altar up there. He says, don't do this stuff. This is what these nations are doing. I want you to destroy all that. only build a place to me where I tell you to build it at, where I'm going to put my name at. Don't do what's right in your own eyes. For you are not as yet come to the rest or to the inheritance. There's a rest here that he's talking about. You have not yet come to the rest or to the inheritance which Yah, your Elohim, giveth you. But when you go over the Jordan and dwell in the land which Yah, your Elohim, giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which Yah, your Elohim, shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. There shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and your offerings and your hands, and all your choice vows which you vow unto Yah, and you shall rejoice before Yah your Elohim, and your sons and your daughters, and your men servants and your maid servants, and the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he has no part nor inheritance with you. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest. Don't be making offerings to me everywhere you want to, only where I tell you to. But in the place which thou shalt choose in one of thy tribes, there shalt thou offer thy burnt offerings, that thou shalt do all that I command thee. Notwithstanding, thou mayest kill and eat flesh in all thy gates, whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, according to the blessings of Yah thy Elohim, which he has given thee. The unclean and the clean may eat thereof. Now, he's not saying to eat unclean and clean. He's saying those that are unclean among you and those that are clean among you may eat thereof, as of the roebuck and as of the hart. Only you may not eat the blood. You shall pour it upon the earth as water. Thou mayest not eat within thy gates thy tithes of the corn or the wine or thy oil or the firstlings of thy herds or the flocks, nor of thy vows which thou vowest, nor thy freewill offerings or heave offerings of thine hand. He says, this is how you're going to act in the promised land. I'm going to bring you safety. I'm going to bring you into the land. You're going to destroy all these other strange gods out there. And then you're going to have peace. And I'm going to protect you from your enemy. Okay. Let's read two more verses. But thou must eat them before Yah thy Elohim in the place which Yah thy Elohim shall choose. Your tithe, you don't get to eat everywhere. You can't eat it within your gates. The tithe belongs to the Most High. He says, bring it to him. Thou and thy son and thy daughters and thy manservants and thy maidservants and thy Levites that is within thy gates, thou shalt rejoice before Yah thy Elohim in all that thou puttest thine hands unto. Take heed to thyself that thou forsake not the Levite as long as thou livest upon the earth. When Yah thy Elohim shall enlarge thy borders, I'm going to enlarge your borders, as he has promised thee, and thou shalt say, I will eat flesh, because thou so longest to eat flesh. Thou mayest eat flesh, whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. In the place which Yah thy Elohim has chosen to put his name there, be too far from thee, then thou shalt kill of thy herd and of thy flock, which Yah thy has given thee, and as I command thee, and thou shalt eat in thy gates, whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, even as the roebuck and as the hart is eaten. So thou shalt eat them. The unclean and the clean shall eat of them alike. He didn't say the unclean and the clean, you shall eat of them. He says the unclean and the clean, that's the person who is clean in the sight of Yah and the person that is unclean in the sight of Yah, shall eat of them alike. Sure that thou eat not the blood, for the blood is of the life, and thou mayest not eat the life with the flesh. All right, so this rest that Yah has promised and said that Israel, those people would not enter into, is his kingdom. The promised land, the land of Israel, was the rest that he was going to give them. And if we went on to read he would tell you that even when it comes to my feast days and you keeping the feast days, I will cause your enemies not to attack you. I will influence them and make sure that they don't attack you, that you may worship me in freedom, that you may keep what I tell you to do. Now, on tomorrow morning, we're going to look at then what is the rest that Messiah, what rest do we have in him? What are we supposed to be believing? And then are we doing what he said to do? Because Israel walked in unbelief and they sinned. They disobeyed the Most High. And we think that we can walk in sin and be at rest in Messiah at the same time. That is not what he came for. So we're going to look at that on in the morning. We've gone over 2 hours now. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. Father, we ask that you would encourage somebody, that you would unction someone, that they would be convicted, that they would not walk in unbelief as our forefathers walked in unbelief, that they murmur not against you, but that they learn that they should serve you with their whole heart, that you should be number one in their life, that you would, they would give their all to you. They would do whatever it takes to get into your kingdom, that they would not do what's right in their own eyes, but that they would hear your voice and they would hearken unto it and that they would do what you said to do. Obey your statutes and your judgments, your commandments. Obey your voice. We know that we are not supposed to sacrifice today, Father. We know that we have no temple to do animal sacrifice in, and Messiah is our sin sacrifice. So we don't sacrifice animals, but we are that living sacrifice. And you have commanded us that we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, acceptable unto you. Every sacrifice that you have asked for, Father, you said that it could not have a blemish. It could not be tainted. It had to be perfect in the way that it was. And you command that we be perfect, and that we offer a living sacrifice. Father, as we offer up ourselves to you, may you find this sacrifice acceptable in your eyes. If there be any among us who have walked in unbelief, Father, if they will repent right now, Father, forgive them their sins. Allow them to walk and to have a clean slate, that they might walk before you perfectly, that they might walk before you in truth, in spirit and in truth, understanding that they can no longer walk in sin. And then say that they belong to you, for you're not having it. Let them understand in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, so tomorrow morning I will bring this into the New Testament. We're going to be doing from Hebrews and then from Isaiah. Because the Most High, you know, the Messiah's rest is equated to a day. So we're looking at his millennial kingdom, but we're also going to look at what the Most High wants us to take a rest from. Because the world is telling us that we need to take a rest from, you know, we're not up under his law, so it don't apply to us. We don't have to do that. But that's not what he equates to. He points us back to Israel and says, hey, they were disobedient. And they walked in unbelief. So we want to make sure that we don't do the same thing, that we don't make the same mistake as our forefathers, but that we walk before you in spirit and in truth. All right, with that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. Shalom, saints, and happy Sabbath. And let me roll the credits. Why my mouse won't go over there? Okay.
Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. You created the world and the universe, and everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a bus. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect,
Brother
Miles. Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath.
Shalom, my sister. Shalom, family. Peace and blessings. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Shalom.
Shalom.